We're going to be in Luke 1. A week ago, we were talking a little bit about a couple of couples in Luke 1, Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, and they had incredible, amazing, and loaded stories as God had an intention and a plan for their lives. And we looked at that a little bit last week, and we unpacked a four-point scenario a week ago. And they had an encounter with the angel Gabriel, and he had a purpose for their life, and he was inviting them into that plan. And we spun out just a little quick four-point scenario that, number one, God tells us what he wants to do, and that always translates then what he's going to require of us as he invites us in his intention. Secondly, on occasion, sometimes he'll tell you how he's going to do it, but not all the time. Thirdly, he'll give testimony and precedent to what he's about to do to encourage our faith. And then fourthly, he'll give us his sure word to ensure there's a foundation to our endeavor. So we're not going to go through that and to review that today. You can get that online from a week ago on the podcast. But in the words of Nikki Gumbel, would you like to join me in Luke chapter 1? And we'll pick up where we left off a week ago in verse 39, and the story continues, although we're going to go into a little bit of a different direction here this morning as we look at a couple of women here, and quite an amazing story, and I believe there's something for us today to take away. And if there has to be a title to what we would say today, I would simply call it The Encouragement of Divine Alliances. The Encouragement of Divine Alliances. But in verse 39 of chapter 1, it reads, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.' And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.' Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home." Lord, we pray you take something out of your word today. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Change our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love this passage here. And again, we're picking right up from where we were a week ago. But it's interesting. Here, Mary, she basically is visiting her cousin, Elizabeth, as we read. She merely gives her a greeting. Nothing sensational about that. No bells and whistles. There's nothing that's seemingly out of the ordinary. I mean, it's the proper thing when you enter a home to be gracious and, in our culture, at least be Southern and pretend to be kind and smile, even if everything's falling apart, and let everybody know everything's fine, family's fine, dog's fine. You know, just that big smile and just do the Southern thing. She basically just extended a greeting, and all of a sudden, the baby, John, to be born in the womb of Elizabeth, leapt, and it says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of y'all know that's just not an everyday narrative that we read about as you're going about life's way? That's like, I went down and I bought some gas and I made an exchange and da-da-da, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You would think, what does one have to do with the other? But there was a particular dynamic that I want us to focus in and even cash in on here this morning. Again, merely the hearing of a greeting created a power encounter for Elizabeth. And I love that. It says she was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You see, there was a connection made when Mary went to merely visit her cousin. Something in the Spirit had the touch of God on it, and God began to endorse their relationship. He began to confirm. He began to bear witness of what was going on in a dynamic in their connection. A connection was made. One mother carrying the Christ child and the other mother carrying the prophet that would cry out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. When they came together, they were both full of destiny. Each individual was full of purpose, but yet in the coming together, it was as if destiny was kissing destiny. I mean, by themselves, they were powerful, but yet when they came together in that brief meeting, there was synergy. There was energy. There was a spontaneous combustion, as it were. We know that the scripture says that one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will do what? Put 10,000 to flight. And if you're here today and you believed on the Lord and you're saved, thank God for that, but you're not merely saved, you're also called with a holy calling. You're saved and called. There's no such thing as being saved but not called. If you're saved, then you're called with a holy calling. We looked into that last week. We're not going to go over that again today. We talked about the artisans and the craftsmen and those that helped build out the tabernacle of Moses. And there was an anointing to do what God had called them to do. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a minister. If you're an educator, if you're in the marketplace, if you're a business leader, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an artist, God will anoint you to do what He's set you to do wherever He's placed you in life. So you're saved and you're called, and that's a good thing. But when you get around other people that are saved and called, something happens. There's a connection that's made. And guys, it's the same way around the world. Wherever you are in the earth, when you meet another believer that has believed on the same Lord that you have, and they've called on that same name, you don't have to spend weeks and months getting to know them and exchanging recipes, as it were. It's like instantly there's an immediate rapport. It's as if you know them in the spirit. It's because you have a common affection. And it doesn't take long before you begin to talk about, you know, one another's experiences in the Lord. And that's the way it should be. And you can see light enter the eye, and people begin to perk up as they share their affection and their love for a common Lord. Guys, it's that way all around the world. I thank God for America. God has not forgotten America, and God's going to visit America. That's our prayers, that there will be a third great awakening. But there are things that are going on in nations around the world that you'd be blown away. So many times America is our reference point, and we have no idea that He is moving through the nations of the world. And that's why I love these flags back here, because we're not merely local Christians. We're world Christians. And around His throne, they're going to be those from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Then it's a beautiful thing. And if we have a hard time getting along together now, we're going to be together in eternity with people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. So I love the multi-ethnic dimension of who we are as a church. And as we look up on this stage, and it's like they're just people from, I mean, it's like there was every color under the sun this morning. I love that. It's a picture, I believe, of the kingdom of God. But God is moving. Yes, He's moving in our land, and He will, but He is so at work around the globe. And so thank God for the commonality that we have in the Lord. But here with these two women, destiny was kissing destiny. There was a divine intersection here that was creating, again, a bit of spontaneous combustion. And there is synergy when you get around other like-minded believers. When you have a conviction and you have a worldview and there's certain principles whereby you live your life, and then you get around another person with common passion, you begin to build off of one another. And before you know it, you leave that place of fellowship strengthened in the grace of God. And you may not have even been aware that there was a transfer that took place. All you were doing was breaking bread. All you were doing was having lunch. And all of a sudden you walk away and you feel like you're somewhat bolstered. What was that? It was the Jesus in them touching the Jesus in you by coming together. You were strengthened. You were encouraged. And for some of us, maybe it was a thing where it gave you the muscle and the hope to go forward another day. And that's why fellowship is a historic discipline of the Christian faith. He has called us to come together, to assemble together. That's why we're rolling out life groups in the new year. There is something spiritual that happens when we come together. And so there's an explosive dynamic at work. I mean, admit it. There are those that lift you, that you know about in your life. Are there not? There are those in your world, and you know who they are, that lift you, that energize you, that stimulate you, and somehow empower you in the course of your life in God. And then there are the others. How many of you have people in your world that when you get around them, you feel lifted? I mean, they always have an encouraging word. They always have something good to put into you, as it were. How many of you know there also there are others that are always kind of just pulling something, or you can feel the drain coming before they even come? So, well, here we go. We're going to be about 20 minutes of complaining. I can just feel it coming on. But, you know, we like to get around those that will empower, that will encourage. This was the case with these two women. The purpose in Mary touched the purpose in Elizabeth. And Elizabeth found herself filled with the Holy Spirit, again, due to a mere greeting. The Bible is not given to hyperbole. We don't, you know, it's not like we've got to really make it exciting so people will read it. God doesn't need the hamburger helper. This stuff really helped. It happened just like it's written. They had a greeting. There was a filling. I mean, it was more than merely someone coming in and brightening up the room. And we know what that's like when someone comes in, and by their mere presence, they brighten up the room somehow. This was something different. There was a supernatural element to this. Again, a mere greeting. I don't know if you've had encounters like this before. I know that I have. Y'all have heard me mention before. I think I mentioned just a week ago how on the mission field, we had a powerful move of God in 1997 where God kissed our church and he was pouring out his Spirit. And I mean, we were caught right in the smack of this move of God. It was island-wide. We were hosting meetings, island-wide meetings, and churches from all over the island. They were coming and being a part of something that we were just found ourselves facilitating by the grace of God. It was amazing. It was powerful. Charisma and Ministries heard about it and wanted to write about it. We said, thank you, no thank you. Call us in a year. This is too holy. Leave us alone. But it was wonderful, and it was amazing. We had lived to taste just 5 minutes of the glory that was touching down upon our lives. But I'll never forget that in the first week of this encounter that we were having, another pastor, I remember, called me on a Friday afternoon, because we were holding weekly island-wide meetings in our church on Friday evenings. And I remember this pastor called me just to say, hey, I heard about what's going on, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. All he said on the phone was, I'm praying for you. And when he did, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The glory of God so came on me on that phone call, I couldn't move. And I was just sitting there, just incapacitated. I don't. You say, explain it. I really can't. I just know there was something in the connection of being on the phone and this other pastor just saying some basic words to me. All of a sudden, I found myself overcome by the glory of the Lord and could not move. And just, you say, well, that's a little bit odd. Well, again, there's precedent for that in Scripture. It's okay. It really is okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay, and it's going to be okay. I sat there drunk in my office, incapacitated, couldn't move. The purpose in this other pastor touched the purpose in my own life at that season. And God himself bore witness to it with an explanation point. A few weeks later, I would write out and send out newsletters once a month to those that were partnering with us in the mission field. And I was merely just writing a newsletter about some of what God was doing, not going into a lot of detail, but just giving a little bit of an overview, just a headline or two, that we were in this move of God. And they went out to, we call it in Guam, the stateside, because it's a territory. And so I would send out about 80 letters stateside. Well, this woman just opens, it's just a ministry newsletter, opens the newsletter and reads it. And the power of God hits her. And she finds herself on the floor. She can't move, drunk in the Holy Spirit. You say, that's the oddest thing I've ever heard. Just reading a newsletter. Go figure. There was something that was transferred, the mere hearing. Just like with Elizabeth, the mere hearing, the greeting from Mary, something leapt in her womb. Something leapt in this woman's spirit. Well, it didn't leap, actually was floored there in the moment and just doing carpet time and just out under the glory of the Lord. You say, is there precedent for that? Well, sure. The Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he looked up and beheld the King of Glory, and it says he fell on his face as a dead man. He looked up and beheld the King of Glory, and he's like, I'm out of here. It's like, see you later. I'm gone. Do y'all remember the soldiers when they came to arrest Jesus? And they said, who are you looking for? We're looking for the Christ. I am he. They're like, we're out of here. I mean, and you would have thought if they had any common sense when they came to, they would cease to continue on to arrest him. But say, I don't think we're going to do that. I think we'll go somewhere behind a tree and worship. But at any rate, when you get close to God, sometimes something is going to give. And it's not going to be God. It's human flesh. That's why in heaven we're going to need a glorified body so that we can take the brilliance of the glory of the splendor of who he is. I mean, in our little feebleness, we can't take but so much. I mean, even a little dippity-doo just makes us go berserk. But I mean, up in heaven when there's just going to be wall-to-wall God, we're going to need a glorified body so we don't explode. Remember the movie, what was it, The Invasion of Mars with those aliens and those bubbles, and they couldn't find how to destroy them until finally they discovered country music would make their head, they just couldn't take it, you know? And God is so awesome and is so holy, we get too close to him, we would just pop and explode because he's so infinitely glorious, we just can't take it, you see? And so in that day and in that dispensation, we'll be able to draw near without falling apart. When you see these manifestations, it's like, is that God? Well, no, that's just their reaction to God, you see. And so, but there's a purpose even in it. It isn't just, you know, our flesh reacting just in and of itself. You know, God's doing a work, and he's doing a deep work. And so here this lady is just reading a newsletter. And how she's in a God encounter. And then her sister comes in, sees her on the floor with the letter like this. She's like, ah, sister. And she starts getting something, trying to fan her. And somehow the lady comes to and says, it's all right. Just God is touching me. Get on before you allow this thing to lift. You know, just leave me and the Lord alone if you don't mind. But there's a transfer at times and at seasons when God draws near. You know, it was said about the Welch Revival. It's a powerful move of God. I encourage you to study it. There was a great book written years ago by Rick Joyner called The World of Flame. But the Welch Revival came onto the scene in 1904 in Wales. And Evan Roberts was such a humble man and such a self-effacing man that he refused to advertise their meetings. And you know, there is a mindset that you don't have to advertise a fire. A fire will advertise itself. And so he was just always going the extra mile to go low, to be self-effacing, to ensure that nothing would rob God of his glory. But still, the secular journalists would come and they would report on these revival meetings that were taking place in Wales. And so they would write it up in the paper, and it was recorded that when people would merely read the reports of what was happening in Wales, a move of God would break out. Merely on the hearing and the reading of the report, there was such hunger, and the tinder was so dry, it took just a little spark to cause it just to break out here and break out there. And it began to spread all over the globe, even 2 years later, landing in 1906 in what we call the Azusa Street Revival, that many things came forth out of that move of God in our own nation. But just incredible. The conditions were right. Deep was calling out to deep, and a spark was ignited due to hunger by the mere reading of an article. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, she was filled with the Spirit, but she did something, which is also critical. When we're filled, it's fun to be filled, but it's always unto a purpose. Can you say unto a purpose? There is a lot of hurting humanity that needs what we have. And in God's kindness, if we find ourselves refreshed, always know that it's for someone else's refreshment. This thing is not the cul-de-sac with us where we just say, God, gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you gimme. No, we're to be a conduit, not a pond, where God comes to us and moves through us out to the nations. One of the best analogies is a marathon race where you see people running and they're tired, and there'll be people on their team, they're on the side of the street, and what are they doing? They're handing out what? They're handing out bottled water many times. Who knows? Maybe there's steroids in it. I don't know. But at any rate, you know, they're over here. They're handing out Gatorade or bottled water. And they're giving it to the marathon runner so that what? So that they'll be refreshed so that they can what? Finish the race. Now, it wouldn't make sense if someone was over there handing out the water and they took the water and then they derailed and start chasing the guy with the water. Hello? And he's like, well, no, I gave that to you to help you, to rejuvenate you so you'll finish the race strong. So it's not about chasing the guy with the, you know, with the bottled water. It's about finishing the race. And so when we are touched by God, when we are filled, it's always unto a purpose because someone needs the deposit that we've just received. We receive that good deposit. We're grateful. Yes, we want to relish it. Yes, we want to milk it for all it's worth. Yes, we want to bask in it. But then we get up. Hello. Then we get up and we take what we've received and we give it to hurting humanity. So it's not just about us. Woo, I was touched. I was so touched. Do you know how I touched her? That's wonderful, sweetheart. Now, what are we doing with it? Are we giving it away? Because I believe that if we give it away, then we'll qualify even for more. And so, again, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. She was filled with the Spirit. And then she began to do something. Her filling was unto a purpose, as it always is. Filled with the Spirit, Elizabeth then began to prophesy, as we see in verse 42. It says, in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And just when she was touched by God, it opened the heavens and she began to declare over Mary, blessed are you, woman, and blessed is that child that you bear. And she began to declare basically, it's the Christ that's in you. There's a God thing in you. The seed of God is in you, woman. Do you know what is in there? And she began to tell and began to speak to the destiny of what it was that Mary was carrying. And when we're carrying the purpose of the Lord, we need to be in a community of people that are filled so they can come by and they can say, do you know what's in you? Do you know that dream? It's born of God. You can do it. Now run like the wind. That desire you have that's been given of the Father, that's a God thing. You are totally equal unto the task. He's going to see you through. Don't lose heart. Be encouraged. Be strong and courageous. And it was a moment of mutual edification in that moment. Elizabeth begins to prophesy. I love that. In a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. Mary was a blessing to Elizabeth when she came into her home. Now we see Elizabeth blessing Mary. Isn't that the way it should be? In the Christian experience, Mary comes in. Elizabeth is overwhelmed, woo, and the Holy Spirit falls. She gets up with that new mantle, and now, in turn, she begins to bless Mary, and she begins to prophesy. I love it. There's a divine alliance between these two women. It's a God thing. It's not just another relationship. This relationship has been set apart by God. And there are people like that that are to be in your life, in my life. We'll all have a lot of connections, a lot of friendships, but there are you can't go deep with everyone. But there are a few that you know these relationships are worth fighting for. This is a divine connection. This is not just a random, arbitrary relationship. God has put me together with this man, or God has put me together with this woman. And there is a lifting up of my soul when I'm around them. And they always have something for me. And I'm incomplete, it seems, unless I'm rightly connected to them. Y'all know God does that on purpose. He leaves us deficient on purpose so that we'll have to need one another. That's by God's design. But there are those people in our lives. You know who they are. If not, find them. But it was a divine alliance. Find and know who your divine relationships are for mutual edification, empowerment, and encouragement. Again, Elizabeth starts blessing Mary in her divine assignment from God. We all need that. We all need that. Proverbs 25 says, "The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding," what? "Draws them out." Okay? The purposes of a man, they're deep waters. But a man of understanding can draw them out. So say Will here, is there something divine in him? Oh, that's good. Sometimes he may discern it, sometimes he may not. But a man of understanding will see that gifting or see that destiny, and he'll call it out. And Will may not even see it, but there's greatness in you, man. There's this in you, and I see that, really. And they begin to pull that thing out. We need that, do we not? Sometimes we can't always see how we're wired. And there'll be others that'll get around and say, "Oh, no, you are ABC. This is clearly who you are. Judge it by its fruit." And maybe there'll be something in seed form or embryonic form. It's not yet fully mature. But there are others that have the eye, the prophetic sight to see it, and they call it into existence. And I love that. A man of understanding draws it out. We need others in our lives to draw the purpose of God out. I mean, a few of our leaders just finished with a men's mentoring group that went for a year. You'll be hearing testimonies about it here in the next couple of weeks. There'll be testimonies from that. And when men come together or women come together in unity, as the psalmist said, God says, "There I command my blessing." There's something that happens supernatural when you come together. There's just something, you're going to come out better. You're going to come out stronger. There's a transference when you come together. Just like breaking bread, it says that the first church, they continually gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and to breaking of bread. I mean, who would think the breaking of bread would be a spiritual discipline? I love that one in particular. I like that breaking of bread. It's, you know, and it doesn't feel spiritual, but there's a transference of life that happens over the dinner table. Most people that get engaged, where do they get engaged? Usually it's over. You normally don't have dinner with people you can't stand. It's like, "Look, we'll just do a coffee at a distance. You know, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I mean, you know," but there's something intimate about a dinner, a meal. And there's a flow and an exchange of life, one from another. We need that. God has designed it that we would. So then in humility, Elizabeth begins to be dumbfounded. After she prophesies over Mary, then she begins to be dumbfounded that she's even included in the plan of God at all. Have you ever wondered, you know, "God, how did you find me the way you did? I could have been. I remember years ago I was doing ABC, and somehow by your grace you found me. Look at me now. I mean, I was up to my neck and whatever, but now look what you have done in my life. Yay, God. Yay, God." And so then she begins in humility to ask, but in verse 43, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In other words, little old me. You ever felt that way? It's amazing that you found me. People say, I found the Lord. No, no, no. He wasn't lost. He found us. And when he finds you, it's like, God, it's amazing that you helped me. I was in my mess, and you came in spite of me and helped me and lifted me. How did I get here? So she has a moment of self-evaluation and humility. Then she goes back to prophesying. So here she prophesies. She has a Selah moment. Wow, it's amazing. Somehow I'm in the plan of God. Then she bucks back up again and just goes at it again and begins to prophesy again in verse 44 and 45. It says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then here she goes again. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I love that. She begins to prophesy again because it's not a given that just because someone receives a word from the Lord that they're going to believe it. So then she begins to stand up and say, blessed is she. And she's probably pointing that index finger. I mean, they were just having a prophesy off, you know. And just, no, it's you. No, it's you, girlfriend. No, you know. And they were just blessing one another. I love it. And she was like, blessed is she who has believed the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord can come. It can come often. But who will believe it? Who will take and say, I'll take that. And I will run with that. And though the voices clamor, and though the doubt and unbelief is nipping right there on the heels, and though the fear and the confusion will try to steal that word, it's like, no, I believe in him who gave me this word. He will bring it to pass. He is faithful who has promised. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. And again, this is not a given, because remember when the angel of the Lord confronted Zechariah and began to talk to him about his destiny and the prophet that was going to be born to he and Elizabeth. He said, how can I be so sure of this? He's like, all right, you're not going to talk, Jethro. You know. And then he said, look, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And he began to remind him who he was. So he did not receive it with faith in that moment. So I love it when Elizabeth is blessing Mary back and saying, blessed are you. You heard that word. You took it and you ran with it, and look at you now. You're on track to doing what God has called you to do. When God has spoken to us, we need others to come alongside and say, run, baby, run. Run like the wind. Go, run, go. You can do it. You are the man. You know, you are the one. We need that bolstering, because the temptation is to peter out, is to cave, and to scratch our head. Did God really say? And you need people to remind you of that original word. And you need people to remind you of what God did, so the birds of the air can't just freely come and steal that word from you and I. So thank God as we look at this relationship. So Mary is blessing Elizabeth. Elizabeth is blessing Mary. It's the way life should be lived. Life is too short not to have others blessing the purpose of God in our lives. We need Mary's and Elizabeth's that will confirm, that will affirm. You know who they are. You know who they're not. And by chance, if you don't know, pray and find them. Pray and find them. They are around. We can't promise you a divine alliance friendship, but what we can do is promise you a culture whereby you find your divine connection. Are we here? And it's not something that can be manufactured. It's just something given in the grace of God. There's a chemistry. There's just something where you know, this person lifts me. This person speaks the truth to me. It may not always just be lifting us in kind of a glib way. It may be everyone else flatters me. Everyone else strokes me. But this person always shoots straight. And sometimes it hurts so good. We need those voices in our lives. You see, a David and a Jonathan, there was an exchange of life. There was an exchange of purpose. One couldn't do what he was supposed to do, it seems, without the other. It was a divine connection, David and Jonathan. We see it with Paul and Barnabas. One helped the other. Here you have Barnabas, the son of encouragement, helping Paul to set him on his course. Then all of a sudden, Paul begins to rise in stature. Then it goes from Barnabas and Paul to Paul and Barnabas. And now Paul becomes the tutor of Barnabas. And we see this mutual edification there. We see it with Mary and Elizabeth. Guys, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. We need one another in God. I ask you today, who is your Mary? Who is your Elizabeth? Mary put strength into Elizabeth. Elizabeth put strength right back into Mary. After Elizabeth finished prophesying over Mary, an impartation goes into her. And now she in turn, I mean, it's just a big, it's just round and round they go. And it just, the Spirit of God just begins to rise. So after Elizabeth finished prophesying over Mary, an impartation goes into her. And now she in turn turns around and begins to worship. And then to prophesy herself extravagantly. You see, life begets life, but death begets death. You get in a culture of life, it begets life. You get around that person that you know you're called to walk with, they'll provoke life. They won't rain on your parade. They won't dampen your dream and your vision. They'll say, if that's of God, then go for it. And I'm here, I got your back. Go for it. Go for it. Let's believe together. Let's agree together. So after Mary got her cup filled after that big word, then I mean, she just flat cuts a jig and just starts prophesying. I mean, it's like once you've received something, then you want to give something back. And I mean, to tell you what, she just gets elated. She gets excited and she cuts into her song as we just read in verse 46. You see, she blessed another. Then she was blessed by that other one. It was confirmed. It is the Christ in you. It is the Christ in you. Woman, do you know who you are? You are blessed of all women. And then she's like, you're not going to outdo me. And then she begins to cut into a worship to God. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She's worshiping God. Now it goes back to God. I love this. It was going horizontally there for a moment, and now it's going vertically. See, they're moving out in God, and now God gets all the praise. I love it. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those. Now she's beginning to prophesy. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Ooh, I like this. I like it. It's like the measure of the Lord is filling up in this moment. Now God is getting the praise. Because you see, Romans 11:36 says, for everything comes from him, through him, and back to him. Everything comes from him, through him. And now what is Mary doing? She's giving the praise back to God. They're affirming one another. They're affirming the call of God on one another. They're encouraging one another. I got your back. I got your back. And then it begins to result and erupt in magnificent praise unto the Lord. That's the way it should be. She's praising God and prophesying interchangeably. Encouragement did that. Encouragement did that. Divine friendship did that. So I encourage us all, let's keep our cups full. Then one will provoke the other in the purpose of God. We are to provoke one another on, as the scripture says, to what? To love and to good deeds. We all need God. But if heaven is silent, it could be the word is in your brother or your sister. If your brother and sister are silent, you're not hearing anything from your friends, it's maybe because God's wanting to speak. When God's not speaking, it could be the word is in the community. It's in a brother or a sister. But we provoke one another to love and good deeds. If we will protect and fan into flame the anointing that's on our life, we're believing that it will not cul-de-sac with us. It will not stop, but it will impact another. It will get on them. Y'all remember what was said about King Saul when he got around the prophets? King Saul, and we know he was a demonized madman. He had his issues. He wasn't even walking upright with God. But yet when he got around the prophets and he stepped into that zone, then King Saul too began to what? Prophesy. And he hung out with those guys for a couple of days. It wasn't just a little fleeting thing. Ooh, I felt that. No, I mean, he was their part for a couple of days. And he just night and day, there's King Saul prophesying. Do you remember the story? And it was asked about King Saul. Is he too among the prophets? And it changed him into another man in that moment. You get in the zone of another believer who loves the same Lord you do, and they're called to the same purpose you are, and you rub up against them. It'll get off on you. It'll lift you and I. It will encourage us. People need what you have. Let people rub up against the anointing in your life. It can turn them into another man or another woman. They need what you have. You need what they have. A divine exchange, an impartation of life, one to the other. And what we're going to pray over this Christmas holiday is that, number one, we all rub up against God, because he's got a lot to give, does he not? We're going to rub up against God and let that spirit that's on him get off on us. And then we're going to take that measure that we've received from him. Then we're going to get around our neighbors and we're going to rub off on them a little bit. And we're going to encourage them. From that which we've received, as Paul said, I now pass on to you. So we're going to rub up against the Lord himself in a powerful way. And then the purpose and the destiny of God is going to leap from us to others. Amen. Merry Christmas. Let's stand up on our feet. We want to get near to God this holiday season, but we also want to get near to other people that are carrying God in a real way. Just want to encourage you. You have something that someone needs. You have something. And even though the temptation would be to belittle that, that's a small thing. There are those that are really anointed. No, you don't have a little tiny baby Jesus. You have the real Jesus on the inside of you and on the inside of me. Someone needs that. Someone needs that. And we don't want to talk ourselves out of being the instrument, the vehicle that God would use to bless a neighbor, to bless a colleague, to extend ourselves to someone in the workplace. I believe that God has given you a word in season. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be just as simple as, I was thinking about you, and I believe God just wants you to know he loves you. He knows you, knows what you're dealing with. He feels what you're feeling, but he cares for you. You may think, it's a simple word. Not to them. To them, it's a powerful word. Even a whisper can break a bone. Lord, we just open ourselves up this Christmas holiday. Number one, to rub up against you. Lord, may we sneak away and find times of just beholding you in your power, in your glory. But Lord, also we pray that what we've received from you, that we'll be zealous to find someone to give away the grace that's on our lives. Lord, help us to be a conduit. And not just a pond, but a river that allows the inflow and the outflow to occur at the same time. And Lord, thirdly, I just pray you show us who our Marys are, who our Elizabeths are, and that we'll find these divine connections. We'll find them, and that we would be willing to be a divine connection to another. For Lord, therein lies synergy, traction, and clarity of purpose. We give ourselves to you and one another over this season. In Jesus' name.